You have your Bibles open now to Isaiah 58 and listen to what it says. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. God's calling for the prophet to preach aloud, to let the people know about their sins, and to proclaim to the house of Jacob and to Israel their sins. Now watch that. He says, my people's transgressions. Now, I know there's a lot of sin in Washington. There's probably some of his people up there. I don't know how many. But there's some folk that's saved in Washington. And Washington has got plenty of sin. And California and Hollywood has got plenty of sin. Bourbon Street in New York has, where's it at? New Orleans has got plenty of sin. But he didn't call the preacher to preach to the sins of those people in this particular occasion. Wanted to preach to the sin of God's people. How many of you God's people? Raise your hand. You're God's people. That's messages addressed to you. Amen. And to me, if you're a saint. A while ago, Brother Brad asked you how many of you are sheep. You couldn't tell if you was a sheep or not. We couldn't. We was just trying to figure you out there for a few minutes. But if you're saved, you are sheep and you are his people. And God's people do sin. I had a friend one time to tell me who's from another denomination. Since they got saved, they don't sin no more. And I said, well, what do you do? And they said, well, we make mistakes. We don't sin. I said, well, you're in trouble, because he said if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. But he didn't say one thing about mistakes. And if you know you're a sinner, he'll clean you up and you acknowledge it before God. But he cried out and he said, you do that. Now listen, notice in verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Wherefore have we fasted? Listen, they're speaking now, God's people. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I've chosen, that a man should afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ash unto him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou covereth him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honored and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I ask now in Jesus' name for your anointing. Thank you for the wonderful singing this morning, God, for the great singing of the specials and the young people in the choir. And God, I ask, God, your anointing now on the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of standing to preach. And now, Father, I pray, God, that your people, many of whom raised their hand a while ago, acknowledge the fact that they are your people, that God, I pray that you'd speak to us about our sin. Speak to us, our Father, about where we have failed you. And God, I pray we'd be honest and get right with you. And God, I pray, oh God, that Lord, that you would in fact do what you promised to this group, that our Father, out of that group who would seek you honestly and be right with you, that God, you would reward and their light would come forth. And God, that we could restore the foundations that have been destroyed. And God, we could see real revival in this nation. I pray, oh God, that you do that for us now. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about what I would entitle fruitful fasting. I don't know how many of you have ever fasted spiritually or from a biblical standpoint of fasting. Many of you have gone to the doctor and you had to do a fasting for that. Many of you have had to have some checkups and you've done a fasting for that. But I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint, to fast. It's a very important part of the biblical instruction of God's people. It's important in Christian history. Fasting is reality. Now, I want to look at it this morning from this passage of Scripture. I want you to understand what he's saying to this people. This people have lost the concept of what it's all about. In the book of Leviticus chapter 23, they were commanded to fast certain days in regard to the feast days. And that was just part of that ritual, if you'd like to say that, where they would come and they'd seek the Lord. Now, it was not something they did just to be doing it. The reason he told them to fast was, I want you to take some time out of your schedule and out of your life and focus completely on me. That's what it's all about. Some people mentioned over yesterday about the father and son retreat, that it was a good time just to kind of get away from the everything, away from the television, away from the computer, away from the cell phone, and focus on God. Well, that's what the principle of the fasting was all about. It was not the not eating of food that made the difference. It was not eating food so you could focus on God. And see, we as Christians and we as just people, we get everything all out of kilter sometimes. We get caught up in a ritual. I was pastoring down in Florida in a little country church, and I tell you, it was hot as blazes down there most all the time. And the little church finally got to where they could put air conditioning in, and used to, they'd have big old fans about like a big airplane propeller over here on this side of the auditorium, one back there. You couldn't even hardly hear yourself think. Anyway, I noticed that when the offering was taken on Sunday morning, they'd come down, they'd get to the offering plate, and they'd take and they'd pour the offering out of each plate into another plate, and then put a plate on two empty plates on top of that plate. And they do that every Sunday. And it seemed like it'd take longer and longer every Sunday, which is a good sign. The offerings were getting bigger. But they do that every Sunday. And they'd stack them up like that. And finally, I asked one of the fellows, I said, why do y'all do that? And he said, don't know. That's what we've always done. And so I began to ask and got some of the older members and some of the folk who were no longer active so far as being involved in taking the offering. Old fella in the church there, about 80, 90 years old. And I said to him, I said, Ben, I said, why is it that they do that? He said, well, preacher, he said, before we had air conditioners, we had them big old fans. And when they'd take the offering down to the front, it's blowing across the front and money would blow out of the offering plate. So we decided what we'd do. We'd just put it all in one offering plate, put the on it and have it just like it. Well, the fans were long since gone. But they were still going through that ritual. There was no purpose to it. The thing is about fasting, it's not supposed to be a ritual. There's a purpose to it. And God has a purpose for Israel here. And they said, why is it that we fasted, but God, you hadn't answered our prayer? Why is it we fasted and you didn't bless us? He said, well, here's the deal. He said, you didn't fast properly. He said, when you fasted, he said, you kept on doing your own thing. You kept on doing your labor. You kept on doing your pleasure. You just did those things you just didn't eat. But it's not, you didn't seek me. You just quit eating. And just quit eating will not get you close to God. Just not take a meal every now and then, or just to do a 3-day fast or even a 40-day fast. If you don't do it properly, it's not going to be fruitful. But you can't have a fruitful fast. I want you to look in your Bible, please, at a couple of passages in the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Do you hang with me? And I know some of you, when I start talking about fasting, praise God, you done cut the clock off. Amen. You can't hardly wait till I get through preaching on fasting so you can go eat. And but we all going to go eat. Amen. Just a minute. But notice in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6 and verse number 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not to men to fast, but unto thy God which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now the Lord says, he's giving instruction to his disciples. Now, he said, when you fast. Now, he didn't say if you fast, because it is important for God's people to experience this process of fasting and this spiritual emphasis of fasting. He said, when you fast, don't do like the hypocrites. You see, they were doing it like they did everything else, just to be seen of men, just to be seen of men. Go back in your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Look in Luke, chapter 4, and let me show you something. In Luke, chapter 4, notice in verse 1, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they had ended, he was afterward a-hungered. And the devil said unto him, I'll not go through all that. But here in the beginning of our Lord's ministry, public ministry, after he was baptized, he came and was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and there he fasted for 40 days. And as I studied and thought about this message, you know what dawned on me? In the 3.5 years of our Lord's earthly ministry that began with a 40-day fast, he never mentioned it again. He didn't go around and brag, well, I started my ministry with a 40-day fast. I wrestled with the devil and I beat the devil in that 40-day fast. He never mentioned it again. Because he said when he was instructing his disciples, that you do in secret, God will reward you openly. He's given you a principle of fasting. What does it mean to fast, and why should we fast, and what's it all about? In the book of Zechariah, chapter number 7, verse 5, he rebukes the people and he said, you did not fast unto me. I do believe it's important that God's people practice fasting. I believe every Christian in your Christian experience should practice fasting. There are things in your life and ministry that will never be accomplished or never have victory over until you learn the principle of biblical fasting. And he rebukes the people because they did not fast. He instructed the New Testament. He said, when you fast. He says this, gives a parable in Luke 18. There's a scribe and a Pharisee, and this Pharisee comes in, and he comes in to a publican and a Pharisee, and the Pharisee comes in to pray. You remember the story? The Bible said he stood thus and prayed thus with himself, and he said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like other men, extortioners, murderers, or even like this publican over here. But in his prayer, he made mention of this. I fast twice a week. To him, it was a ritual. And to the Pharisees, it was a ritual. And it's not supposed to be a ritual. I don't know how often you ought to fast. But I am convinced that God expects you to. And I'm convinced that you'll never be the Christian you ought to be or have the victory you ought to see until you learn the practice of fasting. Biblical fasting. And there's a fruitfulness to it. I can't share a long, detailed list this morning, but I want to just go through quickly and share some things with you. First of all, I want to talk to you about the purpose of fasting. What is the purpose of fasting from the biblical standpoint? Why would God have us to fast? Let me say this to you. Fasting ought to be a natural thing in the life of the believer because it is the expression of the heart. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Have you ever known people that had a great tragedy in their life? They had a loved one to die. And when you offered them food, they would not eat. Their heart was so broken and so heavy and so burdened that they had lost their appetite for food. And then on the other occasion, there are people who fall in love and they get what's called puppy love. Is Dylan here? Dylan's not here. I'll tell you one, Timmy can tell him, if you're not careful, puppy love can lead to a dog's life. Did you do that? That's not true all the time. Miss Linda didn't say that, and he didn't say that. They're happy as they can be. But listen, watch. There have been people that get so in love, they don't eat like they ought to. I mean, they just kind of lose the appetite for food. I mean, we used to call it love sick. They get love sick and they won't eat. They're so in love. Well, if that's true, shouldn't that be the natural thing of the saints of God? That sometime we just love Him so much that we lose our desire for food and we want to spend some time with Him in prayer and spend some time with Him in fellowship and spend some time with Him in the Word of God. And shouldn't it be true that you and I who have the Spirit of God living in us, and when we look at our family and look at the lostness of men and see what people are going through, shouldn't it be times that such heaviness and burden on our heart that we lose our appetite for food and want to just seek God in prayer and fasting? I'm talking about, it is not eating food that makes the difference. It is that expression of the heart that you've got such a desire for God. You've got such a desire to see things happen. You've got such a burden for lost people. You've got such a burden for the need of revival. You've got such a burden for the bondage that your children are in. You've got such a love for the Lord Jesus Christ that just overwhelms you, and you just could care less whether you eat or not. That's one of the purposes of it. It is an expression of your heart. That it's important to understand that fasting also is a preparation for battle. It is a preparation for battle. It's not eating food. You say, well, you know, the Bible, you know, people always say the army marches on their stomach. You know, they got to have that strength. And if you're going to be a spiritual, you got to eat. Well, you need to eat spiritual food. But preparation for battle. Sometimes there's such a focus on responsibility and duty and something you've got to do that you don't eat a meal or two or three. I'm thinking about boxers. I'm thinking about these guys that are going to fight a 10-round fight, and they're going to contend for the heavyweight championship. Man, months ahead of time, they begin to discipline themselves so far as food's concerned. And they begin to discipline themselves, and they abstain from something. They fast. I'm going to talk to you about methods of fasting real quick in a minute. But it's not just food. But they will abstain from so many different things. They will not engage in their marital relationships with their mate. And they are disciplining themselves because they've got a battle ahead of them. The Lord Jesus Christ, before He began His ministry, had a 40-day fast. And went and over again. You see that over and over. You remember the story of Esther, when Esther was going to come before the king and inquire for God's people and to be delivered from old Haman. And she said to the people, "You fast and pray for me. I'll fast and pray before we go into this great battle." And when you're facing a great challenge, it's not just not eating food. God's not going to bless you because you don't go to Bojangles. Say amen. He's going to bless you if you've got such a focus on what your responsibility is and the burden before you, that you're seeking Him. You've got to have Him. You need Him more than you need food at that time. You need the touch of God. You need the power of God. And that's what it's all about. That's what real fasting is all about. It's a preparation for battle. And folk, you're fixing to face some things you've never faced before. It's coming. It's coming. And you better learn this principle of preparing yourself for battle. Fasting, my dear friend, is God's way of us breaking spiritual bondage, habits, and thoughts. You got some things bothering you? You got something that's just hounding you, and the devil's beating you to death over some habit you can't break, some spiritual bondage? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Quite often, you just say, "Lord, I want deliverance. It's more important for me to be delivered from this than it is for you, for me to eat a meal. And God, I'm going to seek Your face. I'm going to pray. I want spiritual deliverance and deliverance from bondage. You got such a burden for that you just miss a meal or two or three or four a day or a week, 3 days or 4 days or 6 days. But you've got a desire. It's not just, God's not going to bless you because you don't eat. He taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Nothing wrong with the food. It's the focus. It's the focus. It is that you want God to deliver you. Some of you sitting here this morning, you've got things that you cannot break. That you tried everything in the world. You prayed. You've asked counsel, this, that, and the other. It may not come until you fast. Remember the boy that was possessed and the disciples couldn't do a thing with him. The Lord said, this kind goeth out only by prayer and fasting. There's bondages that will never be broken. Habits that can never be quit. Victories that can never be won. Unless you find it in seeking God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. To where you're fasting. Not only is it the matter of the spiritual bondage, but also to regain your spiritual focus. There are a lot of good people in here who kind of lost your way, spiritually speaking. There was a time that you were on fire for God and you were looking to the Lord and boy, everything was going good and you know you ought to do this, you know you ought to be back in church, you know you ought to be back in the choir, you know you ought to be doing those things and you don't just see, and somehow it just seems like you can't get back in the groove, to speak. And at some time, my dear friend, to regain your spiritual focus, to refocus on what's important, you just got to say no to this body. You see, when you got saved, you have a body, soul, and spirit. And before you were saved, that old nature, that old soul, that old man controlled your body. But when you get saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God comes in and the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you. And he said, now you ought to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And you see, now your spirit ought to control your soul and your body. But what happens even as a believer, you get out of kilter. You've got an old man still in there fighting you. And you've been feeding him. You've been feeding him television. You've been feeding him fleshly entertainment and whatever. You've been feeding him your own philosophies and everything else. And boy, he's just got everything out of kilter. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're not praying in the Spirit. You're not led by the Spirit. And sometimes, my dear friend, to ever get victory over that and ever get back where you ought to be spiritually, you're going to have to get honest with God and you'll have to focus on him. And it may involve fasting. I mean, if you get really serious about it and say, God, I'd rather have fellowship with you. I'd rather be close to you than anything in the world. And to regain that spiritual focus. It's a time, my dear friend, of fasting. Not just not eating. It's a time of confession. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of seeking God in the Word of God and in and things of God. And during that lunch hour, whenever it was, when you used to eat a meal, you'd slip off somewhere and just get alone with God. You don't go through your normal routine. You don't just quit not eat and work through lunch hour. That's not what it's all about. And you take that time to seek God during that fasting time. You spend time alone with Him. And that's the idea of spiritual fasting. It is that time when you seek God for refocusing. Now, what types of fast are there? And I know that some of you listen. I can tell you're listening. You're listening. So listen. Let God speak to your heart. From a biblical standpoint, there are two or three different kinds of fast. There's a partial fast. You may fast one meal a day. You may fast one day a week. You may fast from certain things that you really love. You may fast for that. Now, I'll be honest with you. I love fishing. I do love it. And I was passing down in Florida. God's blessing and everything was going good. And I love to fish. And all of a sudden, God said, you ain't going fishing no more. If you really want my touch, if you really want my anointing, you got to leave the fishing alone. I'm telling you something. For 6 months, I did not fish. I didn't. I had friends calling me. They said, Brother Billy, boy, they're on the bed. They're doing it, man. And listen, I said, I can't go. I didn't tell any of them that God told me I couldn't go. I was fasting from fishing. I'm telling you that God wouldn't let me go. And I sought the Lord and God blessed. And whenever somebody come up about fishing, I'd say, Lord, I love you. And I do love you more than that. I want your power, I want your anointing. And it may be that you're going to fast from certain things. And God did release me to go back. But can I tell you something? It doesn't possess me like it used to. It doesn't possess me like it used to. God has fixed it. where without any shadow of a doubt, I know in my own heart that I love him more than I love fishing. And fasting may have to do that for you. It may be certain things that you'll fast from. It may be certain food. It may be a certain entertainment. It may be something else that you're just not going to do. It would not hurt everybody in here to fast from the television for 30 days. I mean 30 days. And these kids lay down the computer games. I'm going to tell you, for 30 days, it ought to be a law when you go on vacation, no cell phones and no computer games. If you're going to just get away, get away. I'm going to tell you, just to fast from those things. God, you want God to bless you. You won't see revival in your country. God may burden you about that. And you'll have those type of fast. And then from a physical standpoint, there are what would be called a total fast. That is when you take no food. Jesus did that 40 days. Moses did that. Paul did that. The New Testament church did that. Through Christian history, people have done that where they take no food. No food. And they don't eat anything. You can go 40 days and not eat any food. You can't go that long without water. You've got to have water. And so you take water. And there's some practical things about it. But there are those types of fasts. But the whole thing is this. God's not going to bless you because you don't eat. God's not going to bless you because you quit going to the picture show. God's not going to bless you because you decide not to watch television a little while. God's not going to bless you if you decide to quit some worldly entertainment, although it will help you. I'm just saying it's the focus of your heart. It's God. It's what you want to see. You want God to bless you. And these people had lost that perspective of what it was all about. They thought not eating food. God had to say, okay, God, you said fast. If we don't eat today, we don't eat lunch today, a tub of honey is going to drop on us at dark. Or if we don't eat lunch, God's going to pay all our bills. It don't work that way. The whole idea of fasting was to focus on him and to seek him and to focus on the Lord. And then there's another type of fast in the Bible. It's what I call a preoccupation. It's a preoccupation fast. And Danny Wood's good at that when it comes to fishing. You can take all the vinas you want to, but when Danny Wood is a fishing, he don't eat vinas. He fishes. He's preoccupied with fishing. That's good. He didn't go to eat vinas. He went to fish, and he fishes. And the same thing ought to be true of us spiritually sometime, that we are so preoccupied with the things of God. We get to reading the Word of God in the morning, and God get to bless and God get to speak to us, and it gets to be 12 noon. We don't even worry about it. We just keep right on reading the Word of God, keep right on seeking God. Get out and get witnessing, get visiting, knocking on doors, and doing something for the Lord, and you get preoccupied. You don't eat because you're focused on ministry and doing something God wants you to do. That's a fast. In fact, he said that in this passage of Scripture. He said, you think not eating is fasting? He said, no, fasting is not fasting. Fasting is this idea of you serving God. And you lifting burdens. And you get so concerned about winning souls and so concerned about serving the Lord that food's not important to you. You keep on, you work right on through it. You keep right on working through it. There are people who do their gardens that way. They do their yards that way. They work in the thing. And they just don't even take time to eat because they enjoy that. Now, J.W., we was over there yesterday, and we was talking about that where he does with the cows and everything. It's work. It is work. But he loves that, and he gets preoccupied doing that. And as a Christian, my dear friend, there ought to be times in your Christian experience when you're so consumed with serving the Lord that food's not important to you. The Lord said this, that woman at the well, and boy, listen, she went back, and she went and told all the crowd, and they came, and they brought the food back. And he said, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. I don't have to have food now. He said, look at the great harvest of folks that's coming in here. Boy, I've got so excited about that. And God's working and God's blessing. I don't have to have food. That's a preoccupation fast. The Apostle Paul experienced something that I don't know if you've ever done it or not, and we may not ever do it here, but they do it in other places in the world. And that's a forced fast. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians about the fact in chapter 6, verse 5, that he was in fastings often. Often in fastings. Does that mean that he decided he wouldn't eat? No. It means he didn't have anything to eat. It means he was in a situation where he was doing ministry and there was no food. He was willing not to eat. If he had to go somewhere to get something to eat or serve God, he'd serve God. And my dear friend, there may be occasions when you are forced to fast, that you just don't have it to eat. But during those times when you would be eating, you'd be seeking God and praying and looking to the Lord. Types of fast. Types of fast. And then there is what I would call a sacrificial fast. Not going to eat. He said, here's the fast that I've chosen, that you give your bread to the hungry. Mamas do that sometime. When things are tough and tight, they would take, instead of them eating, they'd give it to their children. And he said there ought to be a time in our lives, at some point in time in our life, when we are so burdened over seeing folks saved and helping and meeting needs that we would not eat so somebody else could eat. And we'll take our food and give it to somebody else. He said, you bring them in your house and you give them your clothes. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that idea. That's what he said. He said, I'll honor that. I'll bless that. It's not just not eating. He said, but if when you take your food, you don't eat because you give your food to somebody else and you'll cut out something and give it to somebody else. Maybe God burden your heart about missions. Instead of that drink or this meal or whatever, you take that money for that meal and you give it to missions. You give it to serve Christ. God will honor that. He said, I'll bless that. I'll honor that if you'll do that. That's his fast. That's the fast that he's chosen. That's fruitful fasting. What is the motive of this fasting? I reiterated over and over again. For them, it became a ritual. For them, it became a routine. And they exacted their own pleasure. They kept on doing those things. They just quit eating. That's all they did. They didn't seek the Lord. They didn't. He said of those people in the New Testament, the Pharisees, he said they want to appear to people to fast, self-glory. You don't fast for that reason. You don't fast so you'll be spiritual than everybody else at Benson Grove. You don't, in fact, be better off if nobody even knew you were fasting. But he said, listen, what is the motive of it? What is it? Well, in the first place, I mentioned this to you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God led the Lord into the wilderness. I'm going to tell you something. There's times the Holy Ghost of God will lead you into a fast, and you need to be aware of that. He may be dealing with your heart about it today. He may have been dealing with you over a period of time, and you just kind of put it off. And you say, well, that's not important. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek. But there's something significant about that fasting. And Holy Ghost of God has been leading you to skip a meal. I have a preacher friend in a church that's been going through a lot of battles. I mean, just real bad battles. Folk in churches fussing and fighting and everything else. Preacher prayed and sought God and tried to do everything in the world. He was just about to wreck his health and everything. And he said, some of the folk came to him and said, preacher, you don't have to. We don't want you to. But we have covenanted together that we're going to fast every Thursday and pray for God to move in our church. And they got to getting together and meeting every Thursday and praying. And that group's grown and grown and grown. And he told me on a Wednesday night in a country church recently, they had over 100 in prayer meeting. They sought God and they had a burden to pray. And their motive was not for self-glory. It was for God to be honored and God to do something in their church. And the Holy Ghost of God led them to do that. And if you fast in response to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, your light will shine forth. God will reward you openly. Obedience to Him. Not that you got something in mind out, John, I want to get this and I want to get that. And if I fast, God's got to give it to me. No, Holy Ghost of God leads you into that fast because of the needs and burdens of other people. The motive is leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and obeying Him. And then it's further this. It is to be used of God in a greater measure. I want God to use me. And I appreciate Dylan going through the training of the Marines. That's tough training. All of our branches of service, that intense 6-week training, they were disciplined. They were disciplined. And they their bodies were disciplined. Their mind was disciplined. Their diet was disciplined. And sometimes you and I are so spiritually lazy that we will not discipline ourselves to seek God. We say we want it, but it's kind of like that old boy. He got to telling this girl on the phone, he said, honey, I love you more. If the ocean was ink, I couldn't write how much I love you. I love you better than Nana Pudding. I love you better than anything in the world. He kept on like doing that about 30 minutes about how much he loved her. And he said, honey, I'll see you tonight if it don't rain. And we laugh, but we do the Lord the same way, you know. And we tell him how much we love him. But, Lord, if it's inconvenient for me, I won't serve you. If it costs me something, I won't serve you. If I have to give, I won't serve. My dear friend, listen. The Holy Ghost of God would lead us. But sometimes for you to be used of God in a greater measure, it requires that you seek him, not eating food, but you set your heart to seek the Lord. And in doing so, you may want to just discipline your flesh enough not to take a meal, but to take that time to pray and to seek God. You seek God in fasting for the blessings of others. I tell you, God will honor that. If you set out to fast so God will bless somebody else, if you set out to fast and you say, God, I'm not going to eat until you touch so-and-so, until you deliver so-and-so, until you heal so-and-so. God, do you do this? God, I want to obey you. And I'll tell you right now, God will tell you when it's time to quit fasting. He'll check you. He's not going to let you hurt yourself. He'll check you to be blessed to do that. Listen, he says to this group of people, if you'll seek me right, you'll get blessed. Oh, you say, well, Brother Billy, what about fasting? Can I put it to you like this? He said, here's my chosen fast, that you deliver those who are in bondage, that you give food to the hungry, that you do those type of things, that you set your heart to seek me. That's real fasting. God's people got to do that. It's just kind of a nonchalant Christianity today. It's just kind of a casual Christianity. Drop in, drop out, come if it's convenient, do. But nothing committed, nothing disciplined, nothing say, I'm going to seek God with all my heart, mind, and soul. I'm willing not to eat, have the touch of God on me, the power of God. I'm willing not to eat so God could get glory. I'm willing not to eat. I want to focus on seeing God bless somebody else and meet some other need. And he said, if you'll do that, he said, your light will bring forth out of obscurity. He said, the foundations can be repaired and there'll be great blessings to be had. I'm not going to go into all the reward of fasting, but it's there. I'm convinced if you go into it looking for the reward, it's not the right reason. It's him. Can I give you the greatest example of it? Here it is. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. In the fellowship of the Father, he withdrew himself from the fellowship of the Father, clothed himself in human flesh. He thirsted. I thirst. He would not drink, so you and I could drink of the water of life freely. He gave it all, gave everything. His focus was on blessing us. My dear friend, if you have that spirit in you, that your desire to do whatever, to fast financially, to fast with talents or to quit doing things or start doing things. Whatever it is, my dear friend, God the Holy Ghost will honor that if you'll do it for his glory. Will you bow your heads in prayer? You've listened well this morning. I do not know what you're supposed to do. But I do know this, there are shackles that can never be broken apart from fasting. There are spiritual levels that would never be attained apart from fasting. There are victories that can never be won apart from fasting. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I don't want anybody to come to the altar for that reason. If God the Holy Ghost spoke to you about sin in your life, I invite you to come to the altar. If you're lost today and you're not saved, I want to invite you to come and trust Christ as your Savior and Lord. Though he were rich, yet for our sake he became poor. He gave it all. That's fasting. And my dear friend, listen, I'm asking you and challenging you, if you want to really see God do something, if God's put it in your heart, then obey him. Just obey him.